Isaiah 16, verses 1 through 3. Something great about the Word of God, talking about the Word of God, that you can never exhaust it. There is no end to the marvelous truth of God's eternal word. I'm amazed that even in my lifetime of ministry, how many times I've used maybe the same text, but never say the same thing. Press, new. The light goes off. You can see what you previously have not seen. Isaiah 60 begins reading with verse 1. Arise, shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and glory shall be seen upon thee. What more could we ask? I would rather the glory of God be seen upon me than to have all the money in the world. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy aid, and the kings to the brightness of thy light. Somebody lift your hands with me to pray with me and ask God to help me to preach here tonight. Would you do that? Father, help me in the holy name of Jesus. Help me in the holy name of Jesus, that I may declare the truth of your inerrant word. Let everyone that is here draw strength. Let us be helped. Let us be edified. Let everything be done for the glory of God. And everybody say amen and amen. You may be seated. Let me just repeat a few things from this morning. Jesus made the declaration, I am the light of the world. We text from the book of Malachi, how that he said, for you that fear thy name, shall the Son of Righteousness rise with healing. That Son, there is felt as you in light. Have you ever noticed that? We talked this morning how that there was a star in the manger. But there was more light in the manger than there was in that storm. How that Peter, James, and John had gone to the Mount of Transfiguration with him. And he was light. His raiment was as light. How that John and the Isle of Patmos said that there was no need of the sun as he went. In the city of God, because Jesus is the light of the world. We've got trouble with the fact that how there is no darker place than a grave. But yet, someone that's born of God, you're not in darkness. You are in light. You're in this body in the grave. I can promise you. That's this earthly temple, but that's not where the person is. To be absent from the body is to be present with you. I want to pick up here because there's a lot of this disputation that everything that Jesus ever declared, if everything stays the same, next Sunday I'm going to preach on the way of the Lord. But Jesus is the light of the world. He said, I came to my own and they received me. Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem and said, how often would I have gathered you under myself as the hen of the brood, which you would not. In all actuality, hell was made for man. God said, I'm not willing that any man perish, but that every man would come to life. Isaiah said, hell has enlarged itself. When Satan was kicked out of heaven and a third party was started following hell. But God is always having to enlarge hell. Strangers are going, narrow is the way. way, and through the eye that walk in the way. God is the way. And many there are that walk in that way. It's always been that way. But there is a dispute about who Jesus is, who is Savior. When the earth was without form and void, what was some of the first words that Jesus said? God said, "Let there be light." Darkness was upon the face of the deep. But with that declaration, let there be light. There was the greater light to the day and the lesser light to the night. God does not tolerate darkness. Let me inject this. I believe that in everything, there is a spiritual interpretation. I'm not one to try to spiritualize everything. I'm not saying that. But I believe that there is a truth that goes beyond the visible, the understood, and the obvious. God knew that when He put man on this earth, He knew what He was going to do. He knew He was going to fail. He knew He was going to fall. He knew that sin was coming into the human family. Now, God walked with man, so man in the garden, before the fall, was always in light. Right? It's strange that in light, He did not recognize His nakedness. It was in darkness that He tried to hide Himself from the light. Because He's not what He was. He's not what God made Him to be. In the image of God made He Him, male and female created He them. We have been made in the image of God, in His likeness. It does not yet appear in us what we shall be when we get to glory, but we know we're going to be just like Him, so we shall see Him as He is. Darkness. The original creation. Darkness. Everywhere, darkness. God said, let there be light. When man backed to His life in prayer, He entered into darkness. He said, you do your evil in the night. You do wrong in the night because your deeds are evil. It's always that darkness is reflective of evil and the sin came through His brother Abel. God come walking in the cool of the day with a question. Adam, wherefore art thou, Adam? Darkness. I will tell you what you already know. This world is full of darkness. I mentioned this morning, the darkness, when Jesus was born, when I was asking the question, how many people were born the same day Jesus was? Political darkness, social darkness, criminals born the same day that the light of the world was born. We just do not really have a concept of what all of this is. But when God made a human being, when that man said, He said that death passed upon every one of us. It wasn't only the death, the heavens that were dark, and the creation that was dark. The people in that creation were dark. That darkness represented us as being away from God. You weren't born saved, you was born lost. You weren't born righteous, you was born unrighteous. Guilty of sin. We needed a Savior. When the light of the world came, He did not only come to give the greater light of the sun and the lesser light of the moon for the physical. He came more than anything. I've come to seek and to save those which are lost. Man, by his very nature, is a sinner. He is lost. He's on his way to hell. And there's only one thing. The entrance of Thy Word gives life. And that life is the light of men. He didn't come to damn me and destroy me. I've said it a lot of times. The greatest lesson I ever learned, God wasn't trying to get rid of me. He's done everything to save me. And one thing that he's done is turn the light on. Turn it on in my conscience, in my spirit, in my heart, in my life. And that's the reason when you sin, you feel like your heart comes up in your mouth. When you do something that you believe has grieved the Spirit of God, there will be a sense of guilt. There will be a sense of shame. You know why? Because you used to do that and it didn't bother you. You used to live that way and you never repented of it. But when the light comes on, we go running to Christ. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Wash away this problem. Take it away from me. Why? Because not only did he bring the physical life, he came to bring the spiritual life. That's the reason we can read and understand the Word of God. We're not in the darkness. He said, you're not children of light. You're children of light. Do you remember that? You're not the children of darkness. You're the children of light. I'm so glad that wherein I was lost, when Jesus came, he dispelled the darkness. You may come to Elijah as a white sinner, guilty. You're away from God. You may come to Elijah because the light turned on. Everything in the natural wants to run out that door. I don't know how to deal with it. But when you come to the altar, I can tell you, the darkness is dispelled. You know what you used to be? You remember that song I used to sing when first I heard of the people who claimed that this old time religion was real? I thought I'll go down and take a look at the crowd. It's just the weak minded pastor. Well, I took the steps with him at the door. The devil said, don't you go in. I said, it won't hurt me. I'll just step inside. I said, it's far back as I can. About that time, the preacher started to preach. He looked out down straight at me. He told everybody how mean that I was. He didn't talk like he thought much of me. I said, I'm going to go down, but I can't stay very long. I've got to be home about 9. I got home 12 hours late. You know what I'm talking about. You thought that preacher was talking directly and straight at you. It was hard to deal with. There's a lot of pride in this life, in the flesh, in the carnal. We want everybody to like us. Who does that man think he is to expose me to everybody? I preach for a Bill Mason in New Orleans. He got up, took the microphone on and said, he said, people, I want to promise you, I've never been to this place. He said, I might say one thing to this man. But the whole time I preached, I was dealing with just exactly what God was dealing with in that church. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? I think it is. If there's sin in your life, if a man of God preaches the truth, he'll get next to you sin. He'll get next to your guilt. He'll get close. It's not him, it's God. What God is doing is turning the light on. Paul said, how would I have known thou shalt not covet? And said, God said, thou shalt not covet. I'm talking about the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Men that walk in darkness has seen a great light. It was all lost before the flood. There was the blood of animals and human beings. But the truth is, the sadness, as I said this morning, Pharisees, Sadducees, they were religious. They were standing right in front of him. They were looking right at him. He just converted a lady that was caught in the act of adultery. He has just healed a man that his eyes, he didn't have any sight, he's blind. He's saying, you have in front of him. But they did not recognize him. They did not hear him. They did not see him. I'm talking about his life. Aren't you glad that God lets you see the light? Like I said this morning, the song was, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I can see. Hallelujah. It's a terrible thing not to be able to see. John wrote in John chapter 1, verse 16. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. He bare witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh unto thee. John was a witness. John said, I'm not him, but I am a witness. I'm a witness of the light. God the Father has sent me in the world to be that witness. I believe that Jesus, in many ways, proved that he was the light for those that would not otherwise be. Jesus came as no man to. He goes into the temple and confounds the doctors and the wise. He's 12 years old. He confounds them. How did he do that? They studied. I told you when I was in the home of Louisiana, there was a man in the service one night that told me he was Jewish. He was going to be a rabbi. This happened before he was 12. He memorized the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The five books of he memorized before he was 12. But in memorizing the thou shalt not and the God shall give it, he never saw it. He could read it, he could quote it, but he never saw it until Jesus came to him and revealed the truth of his nature. There's a lot of things. What Jesus did, being the light of the world, I preached him many years ago, and I still believe that when Jesus was taken to the temple as a child, I believe that he was learning from the teachers, from those that would be teaching. But you cannot teach him anything. He knows it all. He knew what was in the heart of that unbeliever. He knew what was in the thought of that unbeliever. And therefore, they said, no man ever spoke like this man. Remember when the Samaritan lady, she said, come see the man that told me everything that ever I did. She said, you got to come see this man. He knows everything about me. Jesus, being the light, knew everything about that lost world. He knew everything about the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the religious crowd. And believe it or not, he knows everything about me and you. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So by his teaching, it was evident that there was an authority, that there was a wisdom that you didn't learn by sitting around listening to the teachers. I believe that Jesus proved that he was the light of the world. If anyone needed proof, he did it by the miracles that he did. Jesus had forgiven that lady, and he let her know that a great light is coming. They departed from Christ. They went away from him. I'm talking about the crowd, the religious ones, when they were asked Jesus' questions, You may answer, you may not. But it's recorded in the Word of God when they would ask a question. He would ask them a question and they would say, you can't answer this question. Because if we answer it this way, we're going to upset one crowd. If we answer another way, we're going to upset another crowd. They do not have the answers. They said, you work for a miracle by the algebra. The God of the jungle. The God of the jungle. You work for a miracle by the algebra. But then they had to admit that no man could make these work except God was with him. Amen? What did he point out? He let them know that he was on mission. You couldn't have come here. He said, you couldn't have come here. I saw you when you said you were going to come. Say what? He said, no. And in him, there is no darkness. There are no shadows. There is nothing unknown. He is a light greater than what we comprehend as a light. I remember, and I know I told you that Jim Morris passed away 2 months ago. But Jim Morris was here preaching one night. And he said, every time you turn light on, you're admitting that it's dark. His message was lonely. Every time you get in a dark room or you turn the light on, you are admitting that it's dark, that you can't see. Jesus knew that we were in the dark. He knew that we were born in sin. He knew that we needed a Savior. We couldn't save ourselves. So he came. No man could do these works except God be with him. Have you ever experienced the accuser of the brethren? Listen to your Bible. The devil went before God and accused Christ of it. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. And if he's not accusing you, he might be in trouble. There's something about that when you got this. The one that's in darkness, and let me go back to the story of the lady who took him in the sand. That was embarrassing. I can't imagine. The shame of being caught in such a thing. But when you get to the end of the story, she was not in trouble with God. It was those that took her to God. Can you imagine? They said, Moses and the law say, this woman's got to be stoned to death. I'm not sure that every one of them was standing there with a stone in their hand. I can't prove that they were, but you can't prove that they weren't. They're wanting action. They're trying to get the best of Jesus. They're asking when it rains this morning. They're asking if they were going to fight them. They're trying to save them. We read all of the scripture on that. But can you imagine? There is a man that's in total darkness with a rock in his hand, ready to beat the light out of the woman with that rock. But when Jesus had written 2 times in his hand, he said, woman, where are your accusers? When Jesus said, he that is without sin, you throw the first rock. You can hear the rocks scattering. He hears the light. For I know, woman, what you have need of before you ever ask. I know you're in this darkness, but I know the rotten heart that's in this religious place. What did he say? Neither do I condemn you. Those that were ready to ruin her life, ruin the garden, hopefully in their mind, ruin their reputation. Now they want to kill her. But they could do nothing but drop rocks because they knew that he knew what was in their heart, in their lives, how wicked they were. I believe that there needs to be a lot of dropping of rocks that were casting is it really something you realize that something has to go to work to get these kinds of results? I got to thinking. We went this morning from the Gospel of John, so whatever it was, came to us. I began to think about something. Something inside me would say, you know what? You should really be talking to these people. But what? They can't see. Somebody needs to witness to them. Somebody needs to reach out. Somebody needs to go the extra mile. And Jesus was a man of going the extra mile. And the man that you go to, you can go. Right? The wicked woman, one guy, he did too. But that man said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? After everything else, he said, sell what you've got, give it to the poor. Now, Jesus doesn't go the extra mile. He was a coat off his back, but he was a man. When that rich young man turned around and went away sorrowful, Jesus never tried to have a conversation with him. Let me tell you this. Let me express it to you by asking you a question. Do you believe that that rich young ruler could have been saved? You can answer me out loud. Sure. Jesus not really living in man's parents. Do you really believe, as I do, that that man could have been saved? You know why he wasn't? He told me not to be. Jesus said, he that hears these things of mine and does them is not only to hear, it's to do. That man knew exactly what was required. No. Ruin. Lives ruined. People going to hell. And man come to this door this morning. My wife and I got here about 1:15. And the woman. And Gary come in when he come in. He come to my office and said, there's a man I think wants to talk to me. I talked to him. I thought the only thing that changes is the look on his face. The story is always the same. Somebody stole my wife. I got beat up. And they go through that story. I began to relate to that story. After he got through telling his story, I gave him $50 out of my pocket. And I was going to go to church out of my pocket. I got to get you that money back on the dump here. I had $6 in my pocket that I hid him up. You better remind me of that. I gave him $50. Had a wife and 2 kids. Stepped on the parking lot. That's what I said. I said, I'm talking. Listen, you can get yourself in trouble by your attitude. Come on. You don't have to get $50 for anybody. Say what I'm saying. But if you don't have the love of God in you, how can you close your mouth with compassion? And there is more joy to be given. When you receive it, give me God, give me $50 back. Once a man said, who can forgive a child who is afraid of death? But only pity when God who is afraid of life. We think, after going to have that glass, my God is alive. They put those drugs in the eyes of the knee. Everything is going away. You know what it's like. You go on the side and your eyes are so dilated, like you put those stupid looking shades on, hang them over your nose. The light can get to be too bright. But Jesus, don't put on any sunscreen when you get around his spirit. Don't try to darken. Don't try to darken that light. See it. Walk in it. He's not going to bind you. He's not going to hurt you. He's trying to help you. He's the light. You believe in a shadowy man. Do you know that there are six living in the depths of the ocean, where the PSI is so deep. I mean, they have to be specially gifted to that kind of an environment. But they don't even have eyes. You know why they don't have eyes? They can't see. And one reason they can't see is that at that depth, there is no vision for anything. Some people, like when Jesus came at the beginning of creation, he said, let there be light. What God the Father did when he gave his Son for our redemption, he was saying, let there be light. Let there be light. I'm so glad that God has given us that way. Let me take this just a little further, and I won't be much longer. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 21, the scripture talks about the heart being talking. Right? Man will show the appearance, God will show the heart. So, if that heart is darkened, that's what God is looking at when he sees you. He sees that darkness. Now, God have mercy. But what did he say about the heart? The heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? But in the Word of God, I believe that the heart speaks about the mind, speaks about the emotion. Someone that does not want the light, my mind, they're that way because there's something in them that's going to show what God's plan is against what they are. Am I right? God will show us. The heart speaks of the mind, the will, and the emotion. But when we refuse to let Christ illuminate our mind and to yield to his will and to his love, one reason they could not see was due to the overwhelming pride. I couldn't tell you this, but I can't think of another example. Have you ever had cataracts? I have never had them removed. The doctor came by telling me when I was in, you've got cataracts. I didn't know. You've got it. Don't do anything. You go by ears later. You've got cataracts. You're getting it. What do you want? I asked him what he wanted. His answer was, you will tell me when it's time to take care of this cataract. I don't have to tell you. You're going to tell me. Only those big highway signs get blurred. Doctor, I'm ready to do something with this cataract. That's the nearest thing to nothing. That's something that I've been wanting to do. I put that stuff in my eye. I thought it was being blind blindness. But I've gotten to the place where my vision was not what it used to be. I couldn't see as well as I used to see. Travel, read, whatever. There is always a reason to lose this time, spiritually and physically. The interest of thy word is light. Can somebody tell me what goes before destruction? Can you spell that for me? Pride goes before destruction. In other words, like that cataract was covering my eyes. Spiritually, pride can cause a vision. Cannot be one of the two. I found this out about a person with pride. Now I'm not talking about self-respect, which is all right. But you take a person with pride, has pride, that they can do what they can tell me. Pride can become overwhelming. It's like that cataract. Sometimes you can know too much for your own good. Paul let it be known how much Jesus has to do. He prayed, oh, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of the sacraments. And after the musicians have seen us come out together. The fact is, this was the people that was religious. The light represents the very presence of God. You know, I really believe that those Sadducees, Pharisees, really did. I think that they should have understood something about this because they remembered all through the law, all through those books of the law, that they had been right to follow them and not for the fact of life. You would think that they would remember. You would hope that they would know that that represented the presence of God. Not only while you give me music to help me be quiet. Not only did it light the way for those children, but it also was the leader of that music. If you would go back and read Isaiah 60, verses 1 through 3, you would see that. Arise, God, for the light has come. I preach to you two times today, the light has come. We have been torn down if that light has not come. We will be totally ruined if that light has not come. I'll say it again. God's not trying to get rid of me. God's seen everything in me unimaginable. To keep me. He said, I will keep you. Lest you die to come against us. He said, I won't let anybody form a weapon. It will be successful against you. Why would I want to put on those things against you? I said, I've got my esteem, I've got my pride, I've got my demand to take Jesus Christ. And he's the one that went away from you. Be merciful. Amen. I believe that God wants to show forth His goodness to us today. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to join the singers and sing the last song from Isaiah 60, Arise, Shine, for the Lord.